Set for a meeting of the Senate Committee on the Judiciary. I first want to start off by welcoming our newest committee member, Senator Henry Stern. Welcome. I look forward to working with you and think you'll find this to be a very interesting committee, and we're delighted to have another lawyer sitting here and evaluating legislation that is so important to our state. So welcome. And I also want to welcome and introduce our three new members of the Senate Judiciary Committee staff, three new counsel, Marissa Shea, Timothy Griffiths, Timothy over here, and Christian Kirpieski. Christian, welcome to the three of you, and we're delighted to have you here. We have two items for consideration today. They are Senate Resolution 9 and Senate Resolution 12. However, the first order of business is to adopt the committee rules. Is there a motion to adopt those rules? Moved by Senator Monning. Please call the roll.
Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Morlock?
Aye.
Morlock, aye. Anderson? Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Monning?
Aye.
Monning, aye. Stern?
Here.
Aye.
Stern,
aye.
All right, he is right. We need to establish a quorum first. Just checking to make sure that our newest member's on top of things. All right, let's do that first. So let's go back and establish a quorum. Please call the roll.
Jackson?
Here.
Jackson here. Morlock?
Here.
Morlock here. Anderson? Hertzberg?
Here.
Hertzberg here. Monning?
Here.
Monning here. Stern?
Aye. Sorry. Here.
Stern here.
I see. I've got my hands full.
Wieckowski?
Here.
Wieckowski here.
All right. A quorum is present, and now we have a motion by Senator Monning on adoption of the rules. Please call the roll.
Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Morlock?
Aye.
Morlock, aye. Anderson? Hertzberg? Hertzberg, aye. Monning?
Aye.
Monning, aye. Stern?
Aye.
Stern, aye. Wieckowski?
Aye.
Wieckowski, aye.
Right, that's six votes. The rules are adopted. We're now going to turn to today's agenda. We have two items on the agenda. We'll start with file item 2, which is SR 12 by Senator Atkins, who is here. Good morning, Senator. I'd like to ask that for the purposes of this resolution, there be two main witnesses. On each side, 2 minutes for each witness for support, and again, for the opposition, 2 witnesses, 2 minutes each, and then we will allow others to step forward to give their name and affiliation and indicate their support or opposition as appropriate, just simply without other comment. That will be sufficient. We will give those the opportunity to speak, at which point in time, after those in support, there will be questions available to be asked by the members. Because I am the author of the next measure, I will be then turning the gavel over to Senator Morlock. But the first item is that we'll be taking up is file item 2. And so, Senator Atkins, welcome, and please proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Mr. Vice Chair, members. I'm here today to seek your support for SR 12. Sunday is January 22nd, and it marks the 44th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court decision recognizing a woman's right to control her own body. Roe v. Wade has facilitated women's participation in the workforce. It's drastically reduced maternal mortality rates in our country. Thus, it's frightening to see an incoming administration preparing a concerted effort to attack the protections and freedoms afforded by the Roe v. Wade decision. Similar past attempts to undermine these protections have been thwarted in California, and now more than ever, we must remain strong and steadfast in supporting a woman's right to choose. I would ask you to join me again this year, as we have done every year, to commemorate this landmark achievement of the women's movement by publicly confirming California's strong support of a woman's right to make her own reproductive decisions, whatever they are, and urging our federal government to support reproductive choice as well as access to comprehensive reproductive health care, including the services provided by Planned Parenthood. With me today, I would ask for your support of this resolution, but with me today is a witness, Madam Chair, is Gregory Kramer, who's a legislative advocate for Planned Parenthood Affiliates of California.
Thank you very much, Senator Atkins. Witnesses, please go ahead.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. Gregory Kramer on behalf of Planned Parenthood Affiliates of California. I wanted to thank Senator Atkins for continued support of reproductive rights in this state and across this country. For years now, Planned Parenthood has supported similar resolutions, including this one, defending and protecting a woman's right to choose. And right now, it couldn't be more timely. We're facing some threats at Planned Parenthood and for reproductive justice that we haven't seen in the course of my lifetime, and arguably some of the greatest threats that reproductive justice has rights have seen ever in this country. And so what's at stake for all of this? You know, if there's an appointment to the Supreme Court that rolls back Roe versus Wade, that could have impacts for women across this country for a lifetime. And so what that means for us here in California is it threatens the contraception that we provide to over 600,000 people a year. It threatens the near 307,000 emergency contraception kits that we provide every year. It threatens the 1 million pregnancy tests that we provide, along with the 96,000 cervical cancer screenings that we provide. And so all of these services that we do to protect women and men's right to choose and reproductive choice can be threatened. And so, especially now with the millennial generation who is trying to get out of school, be part of the workforce, people are delaying parenthood now just so they could save up the resources and professionally advance. And so I think with my generation, with the millennial generation, that the Roe versus Wade decision is needed now more than ever. And so, again, I thank the senator for her support and ask for yours. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other witnesses in support? Please feel free to come forward. We have an opening for one more for 2 minutes, if someone wishes to take that two-minute time frame.
Good morning. Shannon Smith Crowley, representing the American Congress, of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. And we so appreciate this resolution being introduced. ACOG stands for women being able to make decisions about their own body, their own health. And many factors influence a woman's decision to have an abortion. Part of it is, you know, pregnancy is not a benign condition. We have more women die from childbirth and pregnancy-related conditions than we do for homicide for women of this age group. There's all kinds of factors that go into why you may need to have an abortion in terms of fetal anomalies or health. There are a lot of conditions where essentially it is the life of the woman or saving the pregnancy. So there's complications including placenta previa, placental abruption, preeclampsia, and even with all of the efforts we've made to improve maternal health, it's still a risky proposition. Let me also be clear. Any threat to abortion and removing rights for abortions or even limiting access is not going to stop abortion. All it's going to do is put it in the back alley. And I was just at an ACOG meeting recently where we had some of the older doctors say the reason why they went into obstetrics and gynecology is when they were medical students and they came back from, you know, on a Monday, there were all these women in the hospitals lining the hallways that had had illegal abortions over the weekends. And it was the single leading cause of maternal death. We can't go back. So appreciate so much the introduction of this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Other witnesses in support, name, affiliation only, please.
Welcome back, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Brian Allison on behalf of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, in strong support.
Thank you.
Kathy Mossberg for Essential Access Health, representing the federally funded family planning clinics, in support.
Thank you.
Geraldine Stapleton, president of California Now. That's the National Organization for Women, which is the largest organization in terms of membership. We are in very strong support of this resolution. As it has been mentioned, without this in place, it would not stop abortions. It would be just going back to the back alleys, putting women into jeopardizing their lives and losing them, which has happened before.
Thank you. Thank you. We're at the point now where we're just taking name affiliation and support or opposition. I appreciate
it. Oh, I am so sorry.
That's quite all right.
Okay.
Quite all right.
California Now in support.
Thank you. First meeting of the year. We're all a little rusty. Yes, next.
Good morning. Micah Doctoroff on behalf of the American Civil Liberties Union of California in strong support.
Thank you very much.
Amanda Wallner, Director of the California LGBT Health and Human Services Network, in support.
Thank you. Any other witnesses in support? Any witnesses in opposition? Feel free.
Yeah. My name is Al Romberg. I wish to speak in opposition to this bill. And there's a vast number of people that share my opinions, as you well know. I won't attempt to name or enumerate them. The fact of the matter is Roe v. Wade was supposed to cause abortion to be safe, legal, and rare. It's really, except for legal, it has not achieved those goals. In fact, it's brought on disastrous social, medical, and legal consequences to this country. Illegitimacy in this country, children born out of wedlock and therefore the subject of great expense to the state and all kinds of problems, are now well over 50%. In some ethnic groups, they're approaching 80%. This is a disaster for this country. On the medical side, although it's not admitted, one of the main problems is that many people don't admit that early abortions, which are typical in this country, they facilitate teenage promiscuity is what it really amounts to. It's not the woman that has 12 children and an alcoholic husband. These impair the reproductive health of the woman. And the result, among other things, and as has been an issue discussed in this capital, is premature birth. Premature birth has soared in this country, and it's well known that one of the primary reasons for it, established statistically, is previous abortions. Children born subsequently to a woman who has one or more abortions suffer serious consequences. Premature birth is the primary cause of birth congenital problems. These include cerebral palsy. There's some indication that it's linked with autism, which is soaring in this country. So on the front of women's health, women suffer seriously. There's been studies done in Medi-Cal to show that, for example, women that have abortions have subsequently more expenses for mental health services provided by Medi-Cal. These are scholarly articles. These are not just my opinions. So now there's another side, of course. There are many people that have a moral objection to it. I realize we're not talking about religion here or somebody's private morality. However, we are a pluralistic society, and different groups have the right to their opinions and not to be forced to be accomplices. The way it's now set up is everyone has to be part of it. They have to be a fiscal accomplice of this Holocaust. And the numbers now are not small. There's over 50 million human beings, prenatal human beings, that have been killed, use what word you want, murdered, whatever, terminated since Roe v. Wade, and even more in California because it started here 5 years earlier, as you probably know.
Would you, you're beyond your 2 minutes. I'll give you an opportunity just to wrap it up, please.
All right. Thank you very much. I'm the only one who happens to be here because of logistics and so on, so I appreciate that. I simply would say, please, when you vote, consider some of these things. I know many people are not aware of many of the things that I've said. They can be well documented in scientific journals, social journals, and many other sources. And out of respect for many people in this state who find this abhorrent and believe it to be basically a Holocaust, I would urge you to abstain at the least, and vote no is the proper vote on this resolution.
Thank you very much. Are there any other witnesses in opposition? Open it up to any questions from members. Are there any questions?
I had a question.
Senator Wieckowski.
It's been a long time since I read Roe v. Wade, but I was, I'm curious about your thoughts. We've articulated a right to privacy in the California Constitution, and we've relied on Roe v. Wade and the eloquent decision there to look to a woman's right to choose as a right to privacy. And your opening statement talks about these rollbacks and all the door that the Supreme Court left open for states either in the first trimester to protect the health of the mother or the third trimester to protect the health of the unborn fetus. Do you think we're missing the discussion that we should be talking about an enumerated right of a woman, not in conjunction with her doctor, but just a woman's right to control her body? I mean, we've sort of gone through 43 years of evolution, but we've always wrapped it around a privacy right. And California's been a little bit more forward-thinking on actual rights. And I was interested in your thoughts.
Well, thank you, Senator. It's good to be in a room full of attorneys. I guess, you know, what I would say in the 30 years that I have been involved, I have been a administrator of a clinic that provides comprehensive reproductive health services. I've been on the board of Planned Parenthood in Southern California. We believe it should be an enumerated right. I think you hear us say that again and again, and we have been fortunate in the state of California for many decades to have had the right to privacy and the support to be able to exercise that right. As we stand today, you know, we have dealt with many blows over the decades. Our concern is, first and foremost, in the state of California, to protect our citizens who should have the right to make the choice to have the type of services they need. Secondarily, you know, we are concerned about the rest of the country. We are concerned about what a change in the Supreme Court would bring. But, you know, today we're here basically with a resolution. Should there need to be other follow-up, I'm sure that there are people in our legislature who will evaluate that, working with our partners and our the people who believe this should be a basic right, an enumerated right, whatever legal definition you would like to put forward. But today, you know, we hope to get support for a resolution that sends a message that we will continue to support the civil right, basic right of us as women to make that decision.
And just to confirm that in California, actually based upon an initiative of the people back in the 1970s, the right of privacy, which is the basis upon which the Roe decision was made, but it was made on a federal level where the federal law implied that right of privacy. Here in California, the right of privacy is specifically enumerated in Article 4 of our Constitution as one of our fundamental rights, the rights of life, liberty, property, privacy. So here in California, we are blessed to have this right very clearly articulated, and I do think that that has been a foundation for much of the work that's gone on in this area over the last 40 years.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I know that we've had in the Assembly and in the Senate, we've had discussions on cybersecurity, on our data, and our right to privacy. It seems like it's been a long time since we talked about in this area of reproductive rights, and I think the our understanding here in California, it's progressed beyond sort of an amorphous privacy right that maybe our discussion should be more specific. So that's the reason I raised it, the concern that I have, or perhaps the observation.
Great. Thank you. All right. Seeing no further questions, the chair will entertain a motion unless you wish to close.
Madam Chair, I would just comment on some of the comments made
Please.
By one of the speakers. You know, we have lots of discussion about science and studies. I would just put on the record, there are numerous studies and documents that relate to the issue of abortion in this country. The Center for Disease Control, the Alan Guttmacher Institution, the National Abortion for Federation, medical doctors, associations, ACOG, who was here represented today, they look at these issues from a full perspective in terms of mental health, physical health, maternal health. And I would just say that I wanted to put on the record that for those seeking information about the safety, all aspects, those studies are there. The work has been done, and I felt it important to at least acknowledge that today, in addition to the fact that over 70% at least of Californians support having a continued right to choose for all reproductive rights, whether we're talking about education around when you are appropriately ready to engage in sexual activity, and abstinence, prenatal care, abortion services, contraception, the right to plan in a way that helps you be successful in your own personal life. Those are never easy discussions or conversations with your family, with your partners, with yourself, whoever your support structure is. And I would just say we've had these conversations, I felt it important to say that that is part of the record as well. And I appreciate your support, would ask for your vote on this resolution today.
Thank you very much. There's a motion by Senator Monning, that the resolution be adopted to the Senate floor. Motion by Senator Monning. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Morlock?
No.
Morlock, no. Anderson?
No.
Anderson, no. Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Monning?
Aye.
Monning, aye. Stern?
Aye.
Stern, aye. Witkowski?
Aye.
Witkowski, aye.
That's 5-2. That resolution passes and will move to the Senate floor. Thank you for your work on this issue, and thank you for your presentation. And now, item one, which is a measure that I have authored. So I will pass the gavel to the vice chair, pursuant to our newly adopted rules. And Senator Morlock.
Number 9 by Jackson, thank you. Relative to Planned Parenthood, Senator, you have the floor.
Thank you, Senator, and Mr. Chair and members. SR 9 reaffirms that the California Senate stands in strong support of Planned Parenthood and opposes all proposals to defund this critical organization or to limit its ability to serve its clients and to appoint judges who oppose equal health care rights for all women. This commits the California Senate to work with stakeholders to ensure our representatives in Congress understand that we are firmly committed to women's rights and pledge to oppose any plans to defund Planned Parenthood, which we know have been among the first orders of business in the current Congress. Planned Parenthood affiliates, and I think that this is really important. Planned Parenthood is a health care provider. And for those of us who are on the Senate floor this morning, to adjourn in the memory of a great woman who died very suddenly, or I believe it was suddenly, at the age of 50, of cancer. It brought back to me my own personal fight that I had with breast cancer a decade ago. And although I was not at that point in time a low-income woman, I had my own physicians, had I been a low-income woman, I would have sought out Planned Parenthood. To think that I may not have had access to the health care that is made available through diagnoses, through mammograms, through the ability to refer for treatment, I would not be here today. So this becomes a very personal issue for me, because I know that there are many of our sisters and brothers who, without Planned Parenthood, without the ability to access this health care, would not be with us today. How do we tell our constituents that unless you are able to afford health care, you will not be able to receive it, and thus the possibilities of death are linked to whether or not you can afford to have health care? Planned Parenthood affiliates serve nearly 1 million women in California at health centers throughout the state. The reproductive health care services they provide are critical to the health and well-being of millions of women and men and families The loss of the ability to provide these services means women will have no other option for health care and no ability to support a family should they get sick. They will thus face not only the personal threats, but economic vulnerability as well as physical vulnerability. This is about the basic right of all individuals to health care, and it's about the safety and security of millions of women and their families. Now, the services provided by Planned Parenthood are frequently a stopgap in the health care safety net in California. I know many young women who rely upon the services of Planned Parenthood. I know many women who have had children who rely upon the services of Planned Parenthood. I know many senior women who rely upon the services of Planned Parenthood. And our state already suffers from a shortage of providers and care. Losing this lifeline would be devastating for the individuals who currently have nowhere else to go. The notion that other clinics would pick up the call is absolutely fantasy. We don't have enough as it is. To defund an existing health care provider who has saved the lives of thousands, if not tens of thousands, of women and men in our society is just incomprehensible to me. And as an important component of our state and national health care system, the Planned Parenthood affiliates provide comprehensive health care services to both women and men, 97% of which comprise things like well women exams, birth control, testing and treatment for sexually transmitted infections, HIV, pregnancy tests, so that women know when they are pregnant. And when a woman becomes pregnant, the lifestyle change is appropriate. But these are tests and knowledge that women get as a result of the services provided from this organization to go with the life-saving cancer screenings, sex education, prenatal care, and primary care services that they provide. The work of Planned Parenthood is essential to women's reproductive health and to protecting the lives and futures of all women, regardless of their social economic status. Every woman has the right to control her reproductive decisions and to protect her health and the health of her family. We know, and for many of us, one of the most difficult moments in the discussion and the debate by the incoming administration and the Congress has been to appoint a Supreme Court justice who will reverse Roe v. Wade and will defund Planned Parenthood, which is a threat that has already started to take place as discussions are occurring in the reduction of access to health care. More than ever, I believe, we need to recognize the importance of these providers. We need to support their work because, after all, isn't it our responsibility to protect the people we are called upon to serve? And with that, I would ask for your support.
Thank you. Two main witnesses, 2 minutes.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Gregory Kramer again with Planned Parenthood Affiliates of California. I'd like to thank Senator Jackson for more eloquently posing what we do here in California than perhaps I can. But I just want to be clear that the attacks on us are real and amount to nothing more than an attack on women, especially an attack on women of lower socioeconomic status. As I was mentioning, we provide services to over 800,000 patients with over a million clinic visits each year, along with 1.5 million tests for STI treatment and sex ed for 207,000 California youth. And I just want to point that out as well. So in addition to the services that we provide, which in some districts are the only healthcare services that are around for many miles, we do provide comprehensive sex education, and we are active in schools across the state. Schools are scrambling right now to be in compliance with the California Healthy Youth Act, which mandates that all students obtain age-appropriate comprehensive sex ed. The reality is that teachers are either not able to teach or are uncomfortable with providing comprehensive sex ed. That's where we help them out with materials. And so in addition to the services that we provide in our clinics, the youth of our state do rely on us for accurate information that may not come up elsewhere. But the threat to Our operations in California is very real. The majority of our funding comes from federal dollars. And specifically, we're worried about a drug program called 340B, which provides for heavily discounted drugs for contraception and STDs. And so the federal government pays about 90 cents on the dollar for those drugs, and the fate of that program is also up in the air as well. So the reality is that other community clinics have gone on record year after year saying they cannot absorb the amount of patients that we have if we were to shut down. In addition, we are a vital resource for members of the transgender community, folks that feel like they have nowhere to go, even people that have doctors and private plans that that may have a physician that may have personal issue or does not have expertise with healthcare needs of transgender individuals. They come to Planned Parenthood. We give them advice, treatment, and services. And so with that, I hope that we can continue on your support, and we appreciate the senator's introduction of this resolution. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Brian Allison again on behalf of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. I just want to express our strong support for this particular piece of legislation, the services that Planned Parenthood provides on behalf of low-income and disadvantaged communities across the state of California. We'd also like to thank the senator for bringing this very important resolution forward. Thank you for your time today.
Witnesses in support, giving your name and affiliation.
Chair and members, Kathy Mossberg representing Essential Access Health. We support this and thank the senator for carrying it.
Geraldine Stapleton, California National Organization for Women, in very strong support. We definitely stand with Planned Parenthood. Thank you for doing this.
Micah Doctoroff on behalf of the American Civil Liberties Union of California in proud support.
Mary June Flores with Health Access California also in support.
Amanda Wallner with the California LGBT Health and Human Services Network in strong support of this resolution and our friends at Planned Parenthood.
Thank you for coming. Any other witnesses in support? Any witnesses in opposition?
Commissioner, the chair, I have a few.
Why don't you hand them to the sergeant, please?
Thank you.
And your time has started, Mr. Romberg.
Thank you. There's a completely different side of what you've just heard. Planned Parenthood is an addition to a healthcare provider. It's a powerful political force in this country. It spends large sums of money, which originally come primarily from taxpayers. You may have seen yesterday the LA Times had a very revealing article about the tremendous political power they exercise in this state and the tremendous amount of money that they make available. They spent something like $30, $40 million in the last electoral cycle nationwide and large sums here in California to elect and to control the state government as much as possible. I would recommend that you read this. California's friendly territory, but a national defunding push worries Planned Parenthood. It's the LA Times, the newspaper of record of the state here. I would urge you to read that, and you will get some idea of the tremendous political activities and the tremendous pressure they exert. In addition to that, they're the primary litigator with ACLU. They work together completely. Anyone who speaks up becomes subjected to litigation and is silenced as much as possible in the courts, state and federal courts. This is a fact, not debatable, and Planned Parenthood would admit it. They didn't say so when they came up here. In addition to that, Planned Parenthood does not just provide health care. They are engaged in many other activities. They mentioned, for example, what they call sex education. This education is very offensive to a large portion of the parents in this state. However, they've arrange the laws so these parents have very little opportunity to effectively oppose it or to exempt their children. This is extremely offensive to many parents and their representatives in this state. Furthermore, another activity of Planned Parenthood is selling aborted babies' parts. This has been well documented. I provided each of you with a card. You can see the websites there if you have not seen these videos. There's more videos coming out pretty shortly. And when you vote, be aware that this has been well established. I ran off this morning here in Sacramento. This is in Sacramento County. Fetal liver is for sale here in this county. You can see the prices. And the primary source from this has been Planned Parenthood. That's not part of reproductive rights as most people describe it. It wasn't meant by Roe v. Wade. So.
It's close.
Yes, thank you, sir. I urge you to look at that. You can see the prices there, up to $30,000 for a vial of fetal liver cells. This is out in Folsom. The office is in Folsom, STEM Express. You can look at the videos and see videos of this. There's a great deal of information here, but in 2 minutes, it's a little hard to say. In summary, Planned Parenthood is not what they say. Healthcare is available in many other places from those who are not promoting an extreme political social agenda. In fact, it's a false religion.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank all the witnesses. Colleagues, any questions of the author, Senator Monning?
Yes, if I could ask the witness for Planned Parenthood. The last witness suggested that taxpayer money is used for political and lobbying activities. My understanding is that Planned Parenthood raises money separately from individuals who choose to make that type of contribution. Can you clarify that for the record?
Exactly. So Planned Parenthood federally and statewide operates a 501c3 and a 501c4 organization. And so our C3 funding, which is the bulk of our funding, goes directly and exclusively to patient care, comprehensive sex ed, patient services. And the 501c4 organization is responsible for the political action, but the revenues that are obtained for the C4 are separate.
Non-taxpayer.
Correct.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, Ms. Romberg, you were not asked a question. Colleagues, any? Senator Stern.
Just wanted to express my support for Senate Resolution 9 and commend the author for bringing it forward. And I did want to testify to the fact that as one of those millennials that the representative from Planned Parenthood spoke of, and someone who has used these services as a young man for testing all the testicular cancer, prostate cancer exams that are administered, this is a crucial issue, not just to stand up for the reproductive rights and the health of women, millions of women throughout this country and this state, but for young men too. And it's time that more young men and men of all kinds spoke up and stood with Planned Parenthood. So thank you for bringing forth this resolution. I'm proud to be a co-author and look forward to voting in support.
Thank you. Any other questions of my colleagues? Senator, I just have one question, and that is, we were told the bulk of the funding for Planned Parenthood comes from the federal government, some 90%. Do we know how much is being spent by the state of California for Planned Parenthood? Page 5, okay, thank you. Yeah. And where was that information derived from? Was that from the auditor or controller?
Okay. So, you know, we receive about 2/3 of our funding from federal sources. And so without that, you know, our operations as they are today would not be recognizable. The vast majority of our funding does come from federal reimbursement for services rendered.
And okay, I found it. Thank you. Do I have a motion?
I move the resolution.
Thank you. Then we'll move to do pass to the Senate floor. Madam Secretary, could you take the roll?
May I close?
Of course, I apologize.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Very briefly.
Thank you for letting me make one mistake.
No, it's okay. I made one too. So it's okay. I think that Planned Parenthood has acquitted itself extraordinarily under the circumstances when it has been singularly attacked over and over and over again. There have been a number of initiatives that have been brought, and most interestingly, precipitated by expenses from individuals and groups from out of California to try to undermine the ability of people to access health care services. And Planned Parenthood has stood tall because this is a service. Reproductive health is a critical need whether you like it or not. It affects us all, and particularly when people are in their child-rearing years, to be able to make decisions about what's best for one's family, reproductive decisions. We know that this is an issue also of economic importance. As people try to plan when to have their families, whether they can successfully support their families. In today's world, because there is such a lack of support, whether it's childcare. We know women are in the workforce today at greater numbers than ever before. We have almost 50% of women today are working outside the home, and 70% of those women who are working are either the sole breadwinner of their families or the primary breadwinner, or their incomes are necessary in order for their families to make ends meet, to put food on the table, shelter, and clothe their children. So these are decisions that responsible parents need to be able to make, because if they have an unintended pregnancy and no ability to care for a newborn because they are working, and we don't provide access to childcare for newborns and inadequate childcare for young children, the choices become almost untenable. Do I stop working and thus I cannot afford to feed my family so that I can be at home with my youngest children? Or do I try to work and still find quality care for them that's affordable? It isn't affordable in most instances. The cost, the average cost of average cost for a California parent for sending infants to childcare is over $13,000 a year, which is more than the UC tuition and fees for a year. People, there are a lot of people out there who simply cannot afford and don't want to have to make that decision. So we look at this as a moral issue, as a privacy issue, as a equality issue. It is also an economic issue. And I'm not sure that any one of those is more important than any other. But these are factors that we as a society, either we make them for people or we let them make them for themselves. And with the ability of a Planned Parenthood to exist and to function and to provide health care, this gives people the right to make their own decisions and to control their own destiny. And isn't that what freedom is supposed to be all about? So with that, I would ask for your aye vote on this important resolution.
Thank you, Madam Senator. Let's call the roll.
The motion is...
Motion made by Senator Monning to do pass to the Senate floor.
The motion is be adopted to the Senate floor. Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Morlock?
No.
Morlock, no. Anderson?
No.
Anderson, no. Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Monning?
Aye.
Monning, aye. Stern? Stern, aye. Wieckowski?
Aye.
Wieckowski, aye.
The vote is 5-2. That resolution is adopted. That ends our business for the day. And before we conclude, Senator Anderson, we did leave the roll open on the rules. Would you like to vote on the adopting the rules of the committee? Senator Anderson.
Aye.
Anderson, aye.
All right. 7-0, the rules are adopted, and we are concluded with today's work. We are adjourned.
Okay. Wonderful job.